This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Campbell one runs well. He's at second. 1-0 pitch is on the ground up the middle. Handled by Jimenez. Throw to first in time. And the Blue Jays have won the first three of this series. 2-1 the final tonight. More strikeouts and some frustrating ABs with runners in scoring position. Sox will need a win tomorrow to salvage the finale and avoid a losing homestand after sweeping the series with the Cardinals.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and welcome to Getaway Day here on WEEI Afternoons. And after that call you just heard from last night's latest loss at Fenway Park from the Red Sox, they may just want to get away from Fenway Park. It's funny. One series, it looks like they feel quite comfortable at home, sweeping the Cards, putting up 18 runs. The next series, looks like you need to give them a torpedo bat or a wiffle ball bat or a tennis racket so they can actually hit the baseball. We were prescient yesterday, and I know Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Andy Hart here. I know Big Ted is... he's fond of the victory lap when he's right. I'm going to call it the loser lap when I'm right, and not because I'm a loser, but I was right about something negative. This team's issue right now is the strikeouts, and we talked to Alex Cora about it yesterday. 14 freaking strikeouts last night. They lead the major leagues with 126 strikeouts. They get the zombie runner from second to third in extra innings. Casas does his job. Just hit a ground ball to second. Get the guy to third. One out. Boom. We're going to win the... Strikeout, game over. You can't put that run across the plate. It's got to be frustrating. Before we get into this conversation, I do want to remind everybody that we're only on for a little over an hour here. Our boy Dan Ball will have the Mass Mutual pregame show.
Is on the pregame show?
Indeed. Stepping up to the big Christian Arcan chair, 310. He'll be previewing today's game with the Blue Jays as you try to avoid the sweep and try to, I think they call feel-good plane ride or whatever. You want to get on the plane after a victory to Chicago. But I also, real quick, want to play that audio from yesterday when we had Alex Cora on the show, and we asked him about strikeouts, and he made his feelings on strikeouts quite clear. Does that concern you? Are you worried about how many times this team strikes out? How do you look at that?
I hate strikeouts, but sometimes it's part of your DNA, right? What I look at is, are we swinging the strikes, right? And we are. Are we swinging and missing the strike zone too much? Yes, we are. But I truly believe with time, that's something we're going to get better at. This team is going to hit. We all know that. We got a lot of options. Guys that think they have made progress. Abreu, for example, driving the ball the other way. Casas is doing the same thing. When all clicks, it's fun to watch. We saw it against the Cardinals. We haven't seen it against the Jays.
Yeah, he hates strikeouts, so you know, it felt like Rafi Devers, Ted Johnson, was going to run away with the strikeout lead in this team, and he does lead the team, 19 strikeouts, but if you check right behind him for the most strikeouts on the team, guys by the name of Duran, Bregman, and Story all have 15 strikeouts, right behind Devers, 19. And that's called the top of your lineup. That's called a problem, Ted.
That's the heart of your, that is the heart of your lineup. So that is absolutely brutal. Just these last three games against Toronto, 30 strikeouts. Unbelievable. And, you know, you know, I was kind of alluding to this yesterday. It's kind of like, all right, you know, they're aggressive at the plate. I mean, they're swinging at a lot of these pitches, yeah, and missing it. So you'd rather them standing on their feet than on their knees. But my goodness, last night was ridiculous how bad they were at the plate. 2-for-29 with runners in scoring position in these last three games against Toronto. The Red Sox, unbelievably. It's kind of shocking to me that they're only a game under 500 when you consider that they lead the major leagues in strikeouts and in fielding errors, do the Red Sox. So here's the thing. We were all hyped about this team going into the season. Start off 1-4, that took some of the wind out of the sails, but then they, you know, got back to, you know, two games over 500, and we were back feeling good about this team. And so with these expectations for this team, this is inexcusable. This is frustrating. This is not acceptable at this point to see them swinging the bats the way they are when you consider how good these players are, at least on paper and going in. Just really disappointing, Fitzy, to see how this team played against Toronto these last few games.
Ted, I was going to say, now that the stock market and the S&P have stabilized, buckle up, because the ride of the year in New England is going to be the 2025 Red Sox. And I got to tell you, this team, only 13 games in, is testing the resolve, Andy, of the Fenway fanboy, the Joker on Jersey Street, the lover of Lansdowne. I felt like I was sitting in a veterinarian's waiting room listening to Will and Lenny last night on the broadcast, and I caught the whole damn game listening on the Odyssey app on a very long traffic-filled ride home. Side note, thanks to whoever got in the accident on the Mass Pike last night. Almost as much fun as listening to Trevor Story strike out with the man on third, one out. The ghost runner made his way over to third, zombie runner, whatever you want to call him. You have to come through. I'm sorry, you're healthy. You're getting paid $20-something million. Just lift a fly ball, poke it to the right-hand side. Bunt if you're having a hard time around on Hoffman's slider. Something, Ted. Like, it was just so... And like, Flemdog was so frustrated. Lenny just kept trying to talk and analyze through it. Like, yeah, well, you know, Gausman went 8, so that's going to make it easier for Hoffman to possibly go 2. Everyone's going to have the plus stuff. You need your starter to go long. Hauk had his best start of the year. What was the excuse? And so help me, Zod, if I hear one more person talk about, wow, it was cold outside, and you hear the game time temperatures and the conditions, they canceled in Worcester. The Blue Jays have to play through the same crap, too. And they found a way, and these Red Sox are not. Andy, they're making me think they might be, and loved us some Corey yesterday, but these guys might not either be ready, or they might be SAWFT.
Or just overrated.
Let me ask you guys something real quick, Fitzy, to that point. You know, the bunting. You know, you got Hamilton at the top of the 11th. There's no outs. Oh, Hamilton's up. It. What do you hear? How does Alex Cora like to describe his team? It's a what? It's an athletic team, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see athleticism all over the place, right? But if you think you have an athletic team, isn't you know, with the ghost runner there, or whatever they call the zombie runner there at second, isn't that a prime time to bunt and move him over to third base? That's what athletic teams do. Small ball, athletic. Just get guys advancing on the base, right, on the base paths. And they didn't do it in that situation. You had David Hamilton swinging out of his shoes and not even coming close. I don't understand. Nope. If you have an athletic team like the Red Sox have, a runner on second with no outs in extra innings, and you don't try and bunt there or consider bunting. It wasn't even a thought in their minds. And that's that philosophy of having an athletic team but not having small ball tendencies in clutch situations is a little bit I scratched my head on that one.
And you look at the Tanner Houck start. It's a 1-1 game in the first, and then, well, it's still a 1-1 game going into extra innings. That's a game you have to win. That's a game you have to win at home. That's a game you have to win to end a losing streak. So I did a little research, boys, because your lineup is striking out a lot, where might you look for a little boost, right? You might look to Worcester, because Fitzy, we talked about it early. There's a couple guys down there that want to be in the big leagues, that are the talk of the town. You know who leads the Woo Sox in strikeouts?
Let me guess. Is it Roman Anthony?
Yeah, you know who's second?
Marcelo Meyer.
Marcelo Meyer. In nine games they've played, the two have combined to strike out 24 times, 13 for Roman Anthony, 11 for Meyer. Roman Anthony
trying too hard to impress.
Yeah. Grissom is actually playing well. I just wanted to do a checkup because, you know, you kind of lose track of what they're exactly doing, even though it's only an hour west or whatever on the Pike.
They'll fit right in at Fenway at that pace.
Absolutely.
Hey, ball hawk, so, getting ready for the pregame show.
That makes me wonder, though. So Alex Cora is your manager, and he says, I hate strikeouts. But he has a team and a minor league team with stars down there that are all striking. Like, is this fundamentally something, and I know Major League Baseball, I got to throw it out there, Fitzy, the second most strikeouts in baseball is the Dodgers, and they're a pretty good team with pretty good offensive players. They're going to score a lot of runs, all of that. It is 2025, and when you have launch angle and these modern styles of hitting.
Spin rate.
All that crap. Yeah, the numbers are fine, but the reality is, if you don't put the ball in play, you can't win. You can't score runs. You can't advance runners in scoring position and do all these things that good baseball teams do. And now I'm starting to wonder, you mentioned it's Fitzy right off the bat. Is this some sort of a weird helter-skelter team where we're going to have to accept that there's going to be 4 days, 5 days a week where they score 8 runs a game, and then there's going to be a week where they just strike out all the time and we're looking at all these losses? Like, are they going to be that inconsistent? Is this early sample of losing streak, win streak, losing streak? Is this what we're going to see?
I think this is what we best buckle up for, and I can't for the life of me figure out why they came out the gate this way. Now, it's still a small sample size because now we're only, Ted, approximately 1/12 the way through the season. It's only half. We're not even halfway through April. So, again, small sample size, early, cold weather, blah, blah, blah. But there's just something strange that it's like not just a couple of guys. It's team-wide, save for Willie or Abreu. They're just swinging through things. I know Alex Cora was complimentary, or at least heartened by the fact that they're swinging at good pitches. Well, they were mostly until last night, and then everyone just took the big old cheese on those sliders that Hoffman was throwing. They had no chance again. And I understand. He's a top-tier reliever. And I would like to also point out, Andy, we've been getting great intel from these Alex Cora interviews. Don't forget, our first chat with him on WEI Afternoons a couple weeks ago, when we talked about how he felt about the AL East, the first team that he mentioned about any competition in the AL, he said, Toronto, that's a good baseball team.
Plus, Toronto, did you notice their stars? Not just can Toronto play in the cold, apparently, even though they usually play in a dome, so that's weird. In football, dome teams are soft teams that don't like to go outside. The Blue Jays seem fine going outside in the cold. Mm-hmm. But have you noticed that guys named, I don't know, Springer, Guerrero, Bichette, the guys that are supposed to be their stars, their top of the order, they seem like they're hitting just fine. They seem like they're the ones that are getting the job done when the Blue Jays need a big hit. I mean, hell, George Springer clearly loves Fenway Park or whatever, playing the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So that's another, you know, I've talked about it that I think stars win in the postseason. Hell, this series has been an example of stars just winning in the regular season, the top of their lineup and their studs getting it done. And your studs are striking out and walking back to the plate, or as Ted says, waiting for the damn ball boy to come pick their crap up.
Yeah, I can't, you know, to your question of Fitzy, Andy, just, you know, do you expect this kind of helter-skelter? I don't. I still think it's just so damn early. And I do, as much as we don't want to talk about the weather, I think it is impacting some of the players, right? And it's just as cold on in their dugout as it is in ours. But I do think there is a factor with some of these players, unfortunately. So if you want to call them, you know, soft, That might be an accurate portrayal. Well, it's going to warm up, and I just don't look. The record is not good, right? But they have won 5 games in a row here already, in part of this before they lost the last 3. So they can go on a run. I feel like this is a team that is trying to capture some of that magic. I think that was brewing and stirring in spring training. They were feeling really good about themselves. I mean, if you listen to Alex Cora in spring training, I've never really heard him being as optimistic and as positive as he was, because I think he was just feeling something special was percolating. Well, it's still there. There's still a chance for that special thing to come out and start happening. I don't think that's dead, and I think that will happen. They just got to get on a little roll here feeling good about themselves. But mostly, and you indicated, Andy, the hitters that you kind of acknowledge having the nights that they had, the meat of this Red Sox lineup is putrid right now. That's not going to be the whole season, guys. I just can't imagine those quality hitters being this bad all season long. So I think this is a momentary thing, and I do partly, unfortunately, I'm getting soft in my old age. We'll put some of it on the weather. I just think some of these guys aren't comfortable with it, and we'll play better when it does warm up.
Oh, my gosh, Ted. Bill Belichick could hear you shopping at the Excuse Factory.
I know.
Big-necked middle linebacker is like, it's cold.
I just can't imagine that these guys – I mean, look, these guys were playing – a lot of these guys were hitting the cover off the ball in spring training, and then all of a sudden they can't.
Yeah.
Well, no, okay, there, let me make my case for me right there. So, I don't like to make excuses, but I just can't imagine this is a – what we're seeing the last three games – is a precursor to what's about to happen this season.
Grandpa gets Andy, a chill and he can't get rid of it at this age.
I know, dude.
Andy, he did tell us in that same interview where he talked about the Blue Jays being a team to be reckoned with. He did say, we're a good baseball team. I think that was even the quote, like, we got a good baseball team. Like, he knows it. He feels it. We all can see it as well. But there's this, I'll stop short of saying team-wide malaise, but nobody has lit the rest of the no one has been the spark for the rest of the team, save for a few bursts from Abreu and Bregman thus far.
Yeah, and Alex Cora, he reiterated that post-game last night. Even though you could tell he was frustrated with the strikeouts and the way the game had played out, a couple different times he said, I think just flat out, we're good. We're good. Like, we're going to be good. We're going to figure it out. We have good players. 617-779-7937. It's a short show, so let's bring in the callers a little bit early here. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island, who has a comment on our Cora interview from yesterday. What's up, Matt?
Well, hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
You know, the staffer that had that conversation, we'll call it, with Jim Rice, you know, about him not wanting Jim Rice to talk about, you know, his concept of hitting. This is a franchise-wide thing where they want to launch for extra base hits or home runs and, you know, deal with the strikeouts. But, like, I mean, in the cold weather and in the clutch, you know, other situations, like, you clearly want to play for contact. And I just think over the course of time, I think you're making a big mistake going with that theory. Like, you just said the two guys down in Worcester, they're being taught that. Christian Campbell is being taught that. That's what the franchise theory is. All right,
thanks for the call, Matt.
That's amazing to me because you've been hearing that a lot, that they're being taught this. You talk about the conditions the last few nights with the wind coming in from the outfield. The last thing you want to do is get the ball up in the air when you have that wind as strong as it is.
And that's why I gave credit, and so did Cora. If you watched the game, when Tristan Casas moved the runner over, might have been your guy Bregman. Bregman, he moved him over to third as the first zombie runner, ground ball to second base.
Yep.
That's your job. And Cora went down the dugout, kind of weaving between people to seek him out and give him a little fist bump and, like, nice job. Unfortunately, then when you have Story and Campbell strike out with a walk to Abreu, an intentional walk to Abreu.
How about the only walk of the game? was that intentional walk to Abreu at that point?
It was infuriating. Last night was sort of when you take into account how bad the batting was and what you got out of Tanner Houck, who's been trying to turn things around, figure it out. You get a great performance out of him, and you go home a loser in that situation.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're frustrated.
That's infuriating.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you used that choice of words, Andy, because, you know, again, people are going to hit the whole, like, oh, pump the brakes. It's only April 9th. Okay, yes, I get it. It's early. It's April 10th.
And it counts.
But this game counts as much as a game in May or August or whatever else. Like, every dub you can get possible is a needed and necessary one. And, like, for all those fans, and, you know, boy, it's been
all
a lot of hubbub about the Red Sox organization not doing the fans any service by not moving the game up and keeping these games and people freezing their asses off. You know, to invest 4 hours of your life in a game and watch the team just go up there hacking away like they're half in the bag at a driving range at a bachelor party, not loving it, Ted.
Let's go back to the phone lines because they're lining up. People seem like they're emotionally reacting, invested in this team and in this game, and that's a good thing. It's not always good that you have to call and rant with us, but we'll let you do it. Chris in Springfield has a thought on last night's game and one of these Red Sox players off to a slow start. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I was just calling about Tristan Casas. I don't understand the love affair that the Boston Red Sox have with this guy. He needs to get sent down back to AAA so fast. Explain to me from the past 2 years what he's done. He's an average defender at best. He's probably okay at best. And he can't even hit the ball. He's swinging for the fences every single time. Can't get on base. Can't hit with runners to scoring position, which seems to be like most of everybody on the Sox right now. But he needs to go back down to get some more swings in. I'm done with him.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Wow.
I don't know.
For Cassis? Wow.
Done with him is strong.
I kind of understand it. I mean, what has Cassis done that's gotten your blood pressure up this year? Not much. I mean, he's an average to below average first baseman too, defensively, but he's horrible at the plate right now, guys.
I do give him credit with that situational baseball in the 10th inning. I give him credit where some others didn't do their job. He did move the runner over, but big picture, I agree. He's part of the issues they've been having. Because it's funny, we were talking about holes in the lineup. Remember when they were actually hitting well, but we're like, I don't know, Rafaela down the bottom, the back end, this and that. The hole in the lineup right now is 1-9, basically. It starts at the leadoff hitter, and it goes all the way through the – like, don't give me holes in the lineup. The holes in the lineup are near the top and the guys you're supposed to be counting on. So, Fitzy, I know you feel good, though, about the starting pitcher this afternoon, Walker Buehler. You think he is ready to shake off the sort of 8 ERA doldrums that we've seen to start the season?
Yes, I do, and I think he's going to do it on – certainly his physical gifts, but also guile, wit, experience, and intelligence. And if there's any one guy in the rotation who getting a first dub of the season would possibly propel them, like you say, to a happy flight, to a good old-fashioned getaway, to a place where they should be able to have a couple of get-right games, which is at insert name of whatever the hell they call Comiskey 2.0 on the south side of Chicago. Is it U.S. Cellular Field still?
It was.
I believe so.
Yeah. It's where a bad baseball team plays.
Even you, it's where very Betty Betty
Betty. We're a team that its over under for the season was like 52, 54 wins, something like that. Some ridiculous low number.
Smash that. And by the way, I just want to let everybody, just to let everyone in on some of the behind the scenes workings here on the show. In our little group chat last night, as we're all sharing some frustrations and bewilderment over the Celtics game, the Red Sox, whatever. I was talking about how frustrated I was. Andy said he hit the over on the Red Sox this year to. And I'm with him on that one. Only one person in the group chat smashed the under. That would be Mr. Boston Sports himself, your boy, Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno.
Damn
great
right.
story, huh?
Damn right.
Well, and you're proud of
Shame
it?
Shame on you.
Excuse me, you're proud of that?
Listen, I'm a realist, Andy, as you like to say. I'm a realist.
I am.
And so I'm sorry. I think we're going to have broken hearts come the end of the season.
Mm-mm. So I will say a game like last night is one that makes me not feel as good about the over, because I do, like, for some reason we fixate on August games and September games more than March and April games. Like, somehow they don't both count. And then, you know, every baseball season, unless you're a truly elite team, comes down to, we were one game out of the wild card, or we just need. Last night was a game you have to win. With Tanner Houck's performance, and then I keep going back to it, you did what you're supposed to do. You moved the zombie runner over to third. You have one out. Like, you got to win that game. You're at home. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you not win that game? All right, let's squeeze in one more phone call before we get to trending and Dan Ball, who's doing double duty today. How about that? Working with us and doing the Mass Mutual pregame show. Best man in the business. Let's go to Mike. And he has an idea for a parlay, I guess, for tonight's game for the Red Sox. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. What's going on? I just wanted your opinion on my five-leg parlay. I took on the game tonight. I took Bo Bichette for over 0.5 strikeouts, Alex Bregman for over 0.5 strikeouts, George Springer for over 0.5 strikeouts, Walker Buehler to have over 3.5 strikeouts, and Chris Bassett to have over 5.5 strikeouts. Now keep in mind, Bregman was the only one on this app that had an over and under strikeouts for the Sox.
Yeah, I don't hate that, the way they've been striking out.
Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays only struck out 4 times last night, but no, I don't hate that. I like the over on the K's. Also, still not exactly 85-degree spring training weather, so cold hands, gloves, everything.
Walker Buehler has to have more than 3.5 strikeouts.
Fitzy told me he's going to be great. Fitzy said he's ready to
be a little warmer, right? They moved the game up.
Ready. You can tap dance all over my take tomorrow if he isn't, but I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Walker Buehler is going to have a great start today.
Real quick, guys. Real quick, Andy. The name of the field in Chicago is Rate Field. Not Rake, but Rate. Rate? R-A-T-E.
Is it guaranteed rate?
It's not guaranteed Rate Field. It's just Rate Field.
I would rate the field poor, and the team that plays on it even more poor. They're all poorly rated. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons, a getaway day here. We'll take you up to Mass Mutual pregame show around 3:15 with our guy Dan Ball, who's right now is going to give you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Red Sox fell to the Toronto Blue Jays for the third straight game last night. They lost 2-1 in 11 innings at Fenway Park. Tanner Houck, however, went the first 6 2/3, giving up just one run, while the Red Sox bullpen held Toronto's bats to one hit and one unearned run over the final 4 1/3 innings. Final game of the series in the homestand takes place this afternoon. It's Walker Buehler against Chris Bassett on the mound. Here's the lineup. Jarren Duran leads off in left, and it's Rafael Devers, your DH, Alex Bregman at third, Tristan Casas at first, Trevor Story at short, Christian Campbell at second, Willier Abreu in right, Seydon Rafaela in center, and Carlos Narvaez, your catcher, batting ninth. You can listen to the game on the WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Pre-game at 3:10 this afternoon, first pitch at 4:10 p.m. The Celtics were down 6 of their top 7 scorers in last night's game against the Orlando Magic, and it showed. They lost 96-76 on the road. Boston has two home games against the Charlotte Hornets to wrap up the regular season, one tomorrow night and the other on Sunday afternoon. The Bruins play their third-to-last game of the season tonight as they host the Chicago Blackhawks. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Catch coverage of the Frozen Four Men's Hockey Championships tonight over on WEEI AM 850. It's Denver against Western Michigan in 5 and Penn State versus Boston University at 8:30. In golf, Tyrrell Hatton and Justin Rose have the early lead at the Masters. Both are tied at 4 under par. Patriots 2025 Hall of Fame finalists have been announced. They are Julian Edelman, Logan Mankins, and Adam Vinatieri. Fan voting will continue through April, with one inductee announced in early May. And finally, per Albert Breer, the Patriots are hosting Penn State defensive end Abdul Carter in Foxborough on a 30 visit on Monday. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
You hear that music, Andy?
Yes.
You know that music. In case folks don't know, it's the opening round of the Masters today. Already some great storylines started to take shape.
Amazing.
Already we have three players tied at four under. At the top of the leaderboard, 65-year-old Freddie Couples.
Oh, Freddie.
On 14, gets a eagle on that par 4 14. Do you guys realize that a eagle on a par 4 is harder to get than a hole-in-one on a par 3? Did you know that? Yeah, oh, listen to that music. Does it just stir the soul to hear that? But, yes, it's the first day of the Masters. Off to a great start. It's a beautiful day down there in Augusta, and I encourage all of you guys to take in some of that action later today, but I'll be giving random updates on the leaderboard throughout today's show. And the rest
I
of
hope
show.
So. I hope so.
I will tell you. WEEI Afternoons. Andy, you take it over.
WEEI Afternoons here. It's a getaway day. We got the update out of the Masters, and I will tell everyone, back in the day, I loved Fred Couples. I loved him. I don't know what it was about him. And, what did they used to yell? Like, you the man or something when he teed off? I really liked him. So
Silky smooth swing. Silky smooth
65,
swing.
65, huh? Wow.
65 years old, yep.
Damn, and still he's leading right now? Wow.
No, he's not. He's three back, though.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But hell, that he's still swinging and hitting it pretty good down there at Augusta is pretty impressive. 617-779-7937. We've been reacting to the Red Sox losing streak here as they get ready to take on the Blue Jays one more time before whatever happens today. Hopefully it's a get-right series in Chicago against the White Sox, because you certainly don't want to extend any losing streak against a team that could be the worst in baseball, coming off one of the worst seasons in history. We'll get into the Celtics in a minute, but first I want to go to Allison in Cambridge, who has an interesting opinion on the Red Sox and their ability to hit. What's up, Allison?
Hi there. Thank you so much. If I have time, I also, the Tristan Casas caller and also the Masters thing also brought up a thought for me. But with the Red Sox, it's hitting. Is it possible that they only hit bad pitchers and they can't hit good pitchers? Because spring training and the Cardinals series are when they hit the most.
It's certainly possible, Allison. Right? Yeah, it's certainly possible. I'd like to think that, I don't know, Ted's guy making $40 million a year and Devers making $30 million
a year. Well, there's a slow start, as Ted pointed out, the slow start to Alex Bregman. I mean, so that is that. It is odd, though, that the other issue is defense, of course, and Alex Bregman's defense hasn't been great. But for the Tristan, just very quickly for the Tristan, and then I have a pimento cheese from the Masters. Very quick. Is that okay?
Sure, got it.
Okay, Tristan, first of all, they don't like Tristan. I mean, they tried to trade him in the past couple of years. If you're going to trade him and Yoshida to Seattle, which would have made sense to get young pitching, which would have been great. But the Masters and the pimento cheese, there's this great book, Gastro Obscura, from, have you ever seen online Atlas Obscura? It's amazing. It's all these really neat things from all over the world, and their book, Gastro Obscura, specifically about food things. The pimento cheese, the story of the Masters and the pimento cream cheese, the pimento cheese sandwich, they actually don't have the original recipe anymore. That there was an original person. It's a great story. If you just Google Gastro Obscura Pimento Cheese Masters, you'll find out the story of it. It's great. Anyhow, guys, great show, and bye.
Thank you, Allison. That is a great story. Only at the Masters is the pimento cheese sandwich that's sold there have a story about it. Only at the tournament of the Masters would that happen.
Boring.
Well done, hold on a second. Time out. She literally says great story twice. She doesn't get it, and then I open my mouth on this freaking godforsaken
great
frequency
story.
Module. Yeah, see, there it is.
Ted, you got your wish last night. And no, not the Masters. Different wish. Jaylen Brown, DNP, in fact. Pretty much anyone you know on the Celtics DNP'd last night. They had a starting lineup that included Torrey Craig and others. Peyton Pritchard got the answer of what would happen if Peyton Pritchard was on another team. What if he was a starter? Well, you'd lose by 20 to the Magic and only score 76 points, apparently. They were pretty bad last night, shooting threes. The starters went 4 of 25, and I put starters in quotes, 17% from three as a team. The stay-ready crew, Fitzy, didn't look like they showed up very ready for that game.
No, they did not. You know, listening to a little bit of that game and then watching it later on, like, that was too big an ask. For the Celtics to be able to chase history, as I think they would have tied with two other teams for greatest road team of all time, with the 2016 Warriors and one other team, is incredible. And the fact that they're going to finish one game back, okay, I think that's incredibly forgivable considering that they rested everybody, Ted. Just like Jaylen Brown shouldn't be pursuing all NBA, the Celtics shouldn't also be pursuing this wins record as much as it would have meant to the franchise, to the fans, to Joe Mazzulla, because it's quite an accomplishment. Like, the thing that's going to matter most is still having that road warrior, that road dog mentality when the games are going to count, like against teams like the Cavaliers and Darius Garland, who's calling you out and saying, if you want to win it, you're going to have to come to our house because the road to the NBA Finals runs through Cleveland. So, Andy, ugly game, didn't care.
Ted,
cares. Yeah, Andy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll give you a free lucky energy for every show you do with me in the future.
You already do that.
That's true. If you can name the guy who shot the best from three-point land for the Celtics last night.
The best from three-point
land. Went 2 for 4. He's the only guy who had a decent shooting percentage behind the arc last night.
Was it Miles Norris?
You looking at the box score on your screen? I can see the reflection in your glasses, you lying son of a gun. You.
I love how.
Miles Norris.
Is it Miles Norris?
Who the hell is Miles Norris? And why is he shooting threes? That was a game for, I don't mean to say this in a mean way, Ted, like people like you that just want them to finish the season, get healthy, and get to the playoffs. That's what that was last night, right? Like, just go with it.
I always factor in, there's always external factors to consider in games. And that was probably the most difficult turnaround. It was the back-to-back, second of a back-to-back. They played the New York Knicks and a great dramatic overtime win the night before. They didn't get into their hotel, and it was interesting to hear Joe Mazzulla kind of being asked about the game after they lost to the Orlando Magic. He was a little snippy because he was basically trying to tell him, you guys realize we got to our hotel at 4:30 in the morning last night, right? So external factors played into that. Obviously, all the starters not being there played into that. This is a team, most likely, the odds are that they'll play maybe in the first round. I don't care. None of the starters played, and it was a really meaningless game. And I will say this, thank you, Celtics, for not caring about that record, most road wins of any team in NBA history. Who cares? I liked how they kind of played guys last night. No reason to be playing your starters in a meaningless game.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, Fitzy, like Jaylen Brown, it's not like Jaylen Brown didn't play last night. The starters didn't play. Like, it wasn't a Jaylen Brown issue, and it's great. He gets rest, whatever, even though he's, I'm sure, tired and sore from. And you're totally right, Teddy. That's, like, the worst spot between the travel, the fact that you go overtime, you're, like, tooth and nail down the stretch in that game against the Knicks. Like, that is a really tough spot. And so now you get what you wanted. They get rested. And they have two games left, right? So if Jaylen Brown really wanted to go for it, he still has a chance to go for it and use his little 15-minute performances in those games. Although I will say I've been reading a lot of predictions for NBA awards. The Athletic had one. ESPN had one. The beat writers are starting to project awards and all NBA teams. I got bad news for you, Jaylen Brown. Even if you get to 65, no one's putting you on their all NBA team, so you don't really need to play these games. Just get ready for the postseason, win a couple more trophies, right? That's all that they need to do.
Yeah, and this would be like what, Ted? He'd get like another 8 days off until they likely face the team that has solidified the seventh spot in the potential play-in tournament, which would be the Magic. They'd host the Hawks. Odds are that they'll beat the Hawks and that it'll be Celtics versus Magic. Now, the Magic with Wagner and Banchero, you know, they earlier in the season, they looked like a hell of a team. Now a little bit less so, and obviously if the Celtics are healthy, all we got to do is ride Scal's confidence all the way to Banner 19 in a duck boat in June. But, you know, I think the Magic can give them, you know, a game along the way, but I'd be tempted to rest Jaylen Brown as much as possible.
Yeah, I would rest him now, too. Absolutely. If the playoffs are a different thing, I don't want to screw around, and I don't want to be... You know, Scal was really giddy yesterday, Ted, with us about how good they are and the matchups and how Tatum's playing and how almost impossible they are to defend. And you may get some games early in the playoffs where maybe you're up 25 late third quarter and you can rest guys and you can put the stay ready crew in. If you can do that, do that. I don't know that I want to just flat out rest Jaylen Brown into the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it at the end of the day, Andy. I just two games with the regular season. I don't know. I mean, if you want to just have them warm up and then sit for the game, just have them go through warm-ups maybe, you know, just right. Do light workouts before the game. I would be okay with that. I think he's going to be able to rest in the first two series, man. I was looking back at the series from last year. I mean, the conversation got to Scal yesterday about, you know, how deep will the Celtics go, you know, into their bench in the playoffs. I mean, you look at they played 10, 11 guys deep in a lot of games in those first two rounds last year because they were cakewalks. And so, look, I think this team, it should be not too dissimilar to last year in how the first two rounds go for this team. So, there's going to be, to me, plenty of time to rest Jaylen Brown, even in the first two series of the playoffs, guys.
May feel like we just got started here on WEEI Afternoons, but up next, it's odds and ends, which means we're going to talk about Mike Vrabel, and there's another head coach, new first-year football coach at a certain team that Stiz loves to follow. He was mic'd up on the practice field, and let's just say it was Stiz porn. We'll hear that next in odds and ends here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Nice job. Nice job. What was the next play we hit? An in cut. That was the last play we hit. Go get, sir. That's how you move the ball. You've got to hit some of those plays. It's just a lot quieter over there on defense when we make a few plays. That's how we shut them up. We shut them up by making some positive plays. That's it.
That was a familiar voice, former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, now the mic'd up head coach at North Carolina. And a quick reminder that draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. And by Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts, at least among the hosts of WEEI Afternoons here.
OG, baby.
Ted, I need to get your reaction. So,
yes, sir.
Like the tone and the tenor of this Bill Belichick mic'd up, yeah. Is it a different Bill Belichick dealing with college kids?
You know what? It seems a little lighter. That seemed like he was having fun, right? You know, just... just the tone of it sounded like a guy that wasn't, too worried about it. Just kind of having fun, man. It's spring ball. So, to me, guys, this wasn't the biggest shock in the world for me when people, you know, just couldn't believe he was going to college. Look, if there's no NFL team that wants you, this guy, he wouldn't know what to do with himself if he didn't coach football. So the next best thing is to go to a semi sort of big school football school. It's not a big football school. We know it's a basketball school, but it's in a big conference. So he loves to teach. You know what? These kids are going to look up to him like he's a god. All the boosters will look up to him like he's a god. They will kiss the ring. And I think it's really, honestly, it's a great spot for him, despite what a lot of people think. They think it's a slap in the face. It's embarrassing that he's beneath this. At 73 years old, what are you talking about? Like, he's doing what he loves, and I think I think the kids and the school, did right by kind of you know, hired him because they kind of seen what happened. I don't, you know, to compare it to Colorado, my alma mater, a little bit, the Deion Sanders effect. Just in 1 year, instantly, you know, Colorado was so irrelevant for so many years, probably two decades combined. And then all of a sudden, everyone's talking about him. I think UNC is kind of going for the same thing. I don't blame him. And I think it's a good spot for Bill. So I'm going to be I'm glad that our show, it feels like Andy, Fitzy, you guys both kind of want to be tracking the Bill Belichick stuff down there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people in this market, do what we do, are like, you know, it's going to be a non-story. You know, but who cares if he's in college? I totally disagree.
Yeah, I definitely have interest. I mean, I don't know how I could cover the guy for 25 years and then just ignore him and pretend he doesn't exist anymore when he's still coaching football and he's still relevant. The one thing that jumped out to me from this video that UNC put out, which means Jordan put out.
Jordan approved. We know that.
Yeah. I thought Bill looked younger and happier on the football field than I've seen him in a while. He got away from her. I thought when he's been with her at these awards and these games, he looks old and miserable. When he got on the field, maybe it's that blue. Maybe it brings out the
element,
best in him.
Andy. He was Superman
glowing.
With the sun. Like he's being recharged. He's not going to go die as coach or sports death out there and look like a sad imitation of Bill Belichick. This is not going to be his Michael Jordan on the Washington Wizards portion of his career. Like, I think he's going to bust out a surprising coach fastball and put UNC football further on the map than it's been. And I do understand that you've got receivers and running backs, and you've had legendary linebackers, and recently you've had Sam Howell, now Drake May coming out of there. Bill Belichick, even with a recruiting class not as good as last year with Mack Brown, Bill Belichick is going to put UNC football squarely on the map. They're going to get everything and then some, all the ROI for investing in him and bringing the Friends of Belichick show. And I think it's going to be fun because we're going to talk about it every week. We'll probably have regular features on it. Family group trip down there, show trip. It's going to be a blast. I think they're going to be a blast. And I'm on the record saying they go 9-3.
Yeah, I'll take the under on those victories.
That doesn't win the ACC, though, 9-3.
No. Probably not, and I'll take the under on that. I think Ted, you're right. There's maybe some similarities to Colorado where there will be buzz, there will be an initial maybe first couple games improvement,
and then reality sets in,
and you're like, we're not really as talented as some of these other teams we're playing. They have deeper rosters, better athletes, whatever. But I'm with you, Ted. We're going to pay attention to it. I don't know how you could not have interest in Bill Belichick coaching college football for the first time at a. It's not like he's at some Division III. No one cares. It's a real conference and a real team.
Think about if you're a comedian, you know, and you've used the same material for 30 years. Right,
Fitzy, you know that,
Fitzy. All right,
years.
Yeah, there you go, Fitzy. You've been, and you know what? It's kind
What's
of
up
the
with
same.
President Clinton. I did not.
It's kind of the same audience, recycled, if you will. And now he's got a brand new audience. In the profile of the audience is one in which they're not, you know, overpaid, entitled professionals. They are eager, younger, student athletes that, you know, want to learn from the best. And so he is right where he needs to be, to me, where he's going to have a blast coaching his team is my guess.
One more segment here on WEEI Afternoons Getaway Day, getting ready for Red Sox Blue Jays before the Red Sox head to Chicago for a series against the White Sox. We'll be up next with Odds and Ends, where we talk about the candidates for the Patriots Hall of Fame. This summer, there is one notable name missing, and I'm not happy about it. WEEI Afternoons.
That's it.